This is Matt Wells at UN News. Well, for many children, their safest place is at home. In Beirut, last month's huge explosion that devastated the port and surrounding neighbourhoods changed that forever. In an interview with UN News' Daniel Johnson, Child Protection Officer Rula Abi Saad describes what the UN Children's Fund UNICEF is doing to address their fears in safe spaces dotted around Lebanon's capital city. With the added stress created by rising numbers of COVID-19 infections, it's important to explain to children that their fears are a normal reaction in an abnormal situation, she explains.
So I'm Rula Abi Saad. I'm the Child Protection Officer at Lebanon Country Office with UNICEF Lebanon, focusing on everything related to psychosocial support. So today I'm in the field. We will be visiting three of the child-friendly spaces. I'm currently at one of them. Those three child-friendly spaces were established as a response to Beirut explosion. And this is one of the activities or components we're aiming to tackle and to respond to this crisis when it comes to the psychosocial support that we're aiming to provide.
Right, so what's in a child-friendly space and how many children are you catering for as UNICEF in Lebanon right now?
For the time being, today, as of today, I can tell you we have three child-friendly spaces in the public garden, but we have many more established across Beirut and outside Beirut also to respond to the crisis that provide psychosocial support for children. Those spaces are an opportunity for children to come, them and their caregivers, and to have the opportunity to interact with their peers and also to be able to express themselves.
You say an opportunity to interact with their friends and peers. That's because, what, up to 50,000 children have been affected by school closures after the blast earlier this month?
Yes, it is related to the school closure because eventually the schools were supposed to start anytime soon by the 1st of September. But due to the explosion and what happened and due to the lockdown that we're also facing, this is something that I wanted to mention. The challenges that we're facing now also in Lebanon related to the COVID-19 with numbers that is increasing day after day. So we're locked down currently. We're trying to adapt and take as much as possible all preventative measures related to COVID-19 while we're providing the service for those children. So those child-friendly spaces do not only give the opportunity for children to interact because of the school closure, but it will give them also the opportunity to address their emotions, to discuss what happens. We provide them also with tools and techniques that they could use, whether for caregivers or for the children, to be able to adapt with the current situation and to understand that whatever they are facing, this is really a normal reaction to an abnormal situation. So there's a lot of challenges that they are facing and many symptoms. So this is what we're trying to support them within these centers.
Right. So not only is there COVID, there was this awful blast down by the port. Presumably children are displaying all sorts of trauma. I know that UNICEF did a study that revealed that children were having nightmares, that they were sometimes exhibiting aggressive behaviour. What other things have you found? And maybe you could tell me how many children have been affected psychologically by this blast.
It has been consistently shown since the explosion that 50% are reporting negative emotional symptoms and behavior as a result of the blast. There's many symptoms that they are showing. The symptoms vary. Some of them related to withdrawal. Some of them went back to bedwetting. We also have aggressive behavior. We are also realizing there's a lot of anxiety within the children. Whenever you're approaching anyone, you would feel like if they heard any of the loud noises, they are directly shaken. They are having nightmares. There's unusual crying, sadness. You know, the explosion happened mainly in their own homes. Like, this is where usually this is the safest place for the children, supposedly. So with the explosion, they lost the safety and they are unable anymore to enter their own rooms that reminds them of when they were during the explosion.
I see. So maybe in this child-friendly space, do you play games with them? Is there any education going on? What sort of sustained support do they receive from professionals like yourself?
So within the child-friendly spaces, we try to establish back the routine and like a sense of normalcy for those children in their life. Like they would come to the center to, sometimes it's just for playing. It doesn't always need to be with a clear objective. It's just to give the opportunity for the child to be a child as he is. But also we try as much as possible to complement this and to provide them support to address their emotion and explain to them that what they are feeling is normal, that if they need any additional assistance or more specialized assistance, this is really available. And we also provided it.
And how would you measure a child's mental health? Is it weight gain? I mean, how do you gauge and assess whether a child is actually okay?
Okay, we definitely know that it's not easy, but there's many symptoms that we could see on the child, the way that he's reacting, the way that he's talking to us, the way that he's interacting with his own peer. There's many symptoms that the people on the ground and the facilitators and animators are trained on. And once they identify those symptoms, they would refer the child to a more specialized service to have a more thorough assessment and support them as per their needs.
And who's helping the children's parents? Because presumably they have mental health needs too.
Definitely. And this is what we prioritize for us. And this is within our main messaging. We always highlight that if you want to support your child, you have to take care and to focus on your self-care first. So previously, before the blast, we used to provide parenting program for the caregivers. Now we have directly adapted our program to start providing more emotional support for the children, for them to adapt with their own feelings and to adapt with their own situation, to be able to support their children. And then we support them by providing them with tips and tools on how they can support their children to cope with this trauma. Because caregivers are the frontliners, and they are our gatekeepers to make sure that children are safe, and they are the best place to support their own children.
Can you just give me an idea of how many children really does UNICEF believe have been affected by this blast?
In a direct way, there's nearly 100,000 children. They are among those who have their home damaged and destroyed. So this is the direct damages. So as a priority, we're aiming to have at least, depending on the services also, like it varies a lot. We would aim to at least reach out to 25,000 children by providing them with at least like a child-friendly spaces or messaging on how to cope with children. We would aim for those who would need a more focused support. We would aim to reach around 6,000 maybe. And for the one that would need more mental health support, we are aiming for the time being, again, for the upcoming 3 months to reach 2,500.
And are you helping refugee children too? Because I believe 1 in 4 people in Lebanon is a refugee.
Yes, as UNICEF, we never differentiate. It's not about differentiation, but it's about reaching out to any child in the country who is in need of the support. So we support anyone from any nationality, whether refugee and whatever their status is in the country, who need of the support, we reach out to everyone.
And how much funding might UNICEF need to help these 25,000, 30,000 children you're targeting?
So for the current appeal, we would need for the upcoming 3 months around 46.7 million. And this is not only related to keeping children safe and the mental health supports that we could provide, but it also entailed the rehabilitation of basic essential services like primary health care centers, school, and many other services like accessing to safe water that children and their families would need.